Welcome to the Satisfied God podcast. This is going to be a little different, kind of like the one previous, the upload that I previously did called The Equality of the Good. And I did it in the parking lot of the hospital when my wife's father was having his surgery on his colon, and everything's good. He's out of the hospital. We're back in Arkansas now, and he's doing real well. But there's been a couple of things as far as now he's kind of coming down with something, and that'll all kind of come into play. I just want to talk to you. This is not really per se a Bible study. I'm sitting here actually in my backyard in the storage building in the area that potentially will be a little office that I will use when I get electricity ever put to it. But I'm sitting out here wanting to record this because I want people who listen to this podcast to know where I am in this and how I feel. And what spurred this on was conversations, or not really conversations that I had, but conversations that I overheard while we were in South Carolina. And you guys heard the podcast when we were there. And I appreciate y'all. Let me just say, I appreciate all of you who reached out during that and asked about Kim's dad, Alan, and thank you very much. Again, he's recovering, but he's just come down with some kind of sickness, but it's not coronavirus, and I'll tell you why I know that. While we were there, and basically 2 days after I recorded and uploaded the session that you heard, and we went home, and my wife became very ill as far as respiratory issues. Now, she has asthma, but she had never had anything like this. It was just like a vice grip around her, and she had had it for 2 days prior, and she didn't tell me, because she probably knew I would immediately take her to the hospital. But she suffered with it for a couple of days, and the third day it just became unbearable. And she actually took the inhaler that she uses, and she's had that inhaler for years and hasn't had to use it a handful of times, really. But she used it 4 or 5 times, which is way, way too much in a day, but she did it so that she could breathe. She was having that bad of an issue with her respiratory system, and when that happened, we were told to, she called her local doctor here in Arkansas, and they pretty well listened to her symptoms, and they were convinced that she had it because the people that they were testing here had the same symptoms, and some of them were getting like positives. And what we did not know, that we found out just yesterday, was actually she had gone to the doctor to get an actual, just a flu test before we left for South Carolina. And they told her that she didn't have the flu. But we found out now, a couple of days ago, that the nurse that actually handled her and took care of her while she was in the medical center here has the coronavirus. I think she's recovering from it now, but she has it. And so that added to it. But I took her to the emergency room after we tried all of the telehealth stuff that just did not, it never worked. And I just took her to the emergency room at the town nearest us, and she got tested. I was kicked out of the emergency room because they didn't want me there because I'd been around her. They tested her, and they told us that it would be 3 or 4 days before we heard anything. The paperwork they gave us, which was a little pamphlet, stated that if you don't hear anything in 4 or 5 days, then consider yourself negative. Well, we haven't heard negative or positive response, so we considered her negative and still do. After that, however, her being in the hospital with her dad and her mother, they have to test her dad and see if he has it. They test, I think, the doctors and all of them that were around him. They isolate and kind of quarantine him off by himself, kick her mother out of the hospital, and we're all told to quarantine ourselves for several days in the house and to monitor our symptoms and see what happens. And so during a great chunk of the time we were in South Carolina, we were quarantined in the house. Luckily, there was a little area outside that I could sit and do some work and, you know, have time to work on some stuff of working on the book, coming slowly but surely. But we were locked down, basically told to quarantine. So they took his, I think, by blood or whatever they do, and they got his result back in 24 hours or something like that and told him he was negative. But my wife just told me that he's now running a fever and kind of having some cold or flu-like symptoms. So keep him in your prayers. With the negative test for corona, I'm hoping that was the case, and he'll recover nicely. So with all that being said, these are crazy, crazy times that we're looking at and we're facing. And I want to speak about something about which I do not usually talk or speak to you at all. And it has to do with my time in South Carolina, kind of the things that I heard, the conversations that I heard around me. And you listen to things. You listen to conversations. I do. I listen to people around me talk. I'm not a big talker. I'm not a chit-chatter. But I do listen. I'm a pretty good listener, even when no one knows I'm listening. But I do always seem to lean my ear closer in order to hear what Christians, people I know who are believers, say. And especially at a time like we're currently living in, the things that we're facing with the coronavirus, I just tune my ear to listen to what they say. And I want to, let me read a verse real quick. And you'll see why I read this verse, and this will be the only real verse that I read, just to point something out. This is not going to be what you think it is, I don't think. And I hope it doesn't offend any of you, because that's not my intention at all. But I do know firsthand of some things that I believe need to be addressed. As something that needs to be said to Christians that isn't being said in many ways and at many times because of this, I think, almost a drive to give us a feeling of we have to be those who have no concern because we have faith. And we're going to talk about that. And there's nothing wrong with having faith. Just listen to the verse, Mark 16:18. They will pick up serpents with their hands. This is the English Standard Version. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if, there's a word, if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, why do I read that? Well, I hope you'll see after a moment or two why. Again, my intention in this is not to offend anyone, but I do want you to hear where I am with what's happening, especially how Christians are reacting to this. And overall, most people are. And I don't think I'm really saying this to you guys who are normal listeners, but this does go out all over the world, and it does reach people from time to time who are not normal listeners and do not understand this gospel, do not understand what we say here. And mainly, I guess this is mainly for those type of people, but I think it's something that maybe you can share with someone. But there is a great deal of condemnation that is being tied up with this virus right now in the Christian community. And we need to confront it head on. I feel a need to do so. We need to confront not just the condemnation itself, but where that condemnation stemmed from. I concur. Listen, I wholeheartedly concur with everyone who is calling for believers to live without fear. Absolutely. There is no room for fear in this situation. In Christ, in any situation, there is no place for fear. Fear is not necessary in Christ Jesus. There's no reason to freak out. There's no reason to panic here. There's no reason to be fearful. That's an absolutely true statement. We must put our faith, our trust, our confidence in God alone for His protection and His safety. I call for every believer to do that. We should fully be confident in Him, and that there is no doubt that that is true. But with reference to the things that I recently have heard and the conversations that Christians have had in my presence, I have seen what I can only call a great shade of arrogance, pride. Ignorance is basically what it is, but it's bound up with an arrogance and a pride. See, the verse that we just read in Mark 16 is a prime example of something that I think we need to consider, and I've been considering for a few days now. Do you believe, based on this, these are, in most Bibles, these are read. These words are written in red. Do you believe that serpents that would come and take your hand, that would latch hold of you just like it did with Paul? And that's another point. Paul didn't go looking for the serpent. He didn't go after him to prove that he could pick that serpent up. But once it latched hold of him, he understood he understood the promise, and he just shook the snake off. And that was it. He didn't die, and the people were amazed. Wonderful. But he didn't go looking for the serpent to pick up. Now, there are the outliers in the Christian world who do that and believe that it's a spiritual requirement. There's an ordinance of the church picking up serpents and even drinking poison. Now, when I used to look at documentaries about that, there's one thing that I didn't realize that they do in those churches, and that is they actually milk the snakes. I saw one episode of a documentary. It was kind of a show, but it was kind of a documentary type where these people who were snake handlers went down in Louisiana, and they were looking for cotton mouths and all the real deadly snakes. And yet, when they went there, they had the snake boots, and they had those long things to grab after the snake. And the guy that was part of the television producers, they were saying, "Why do you wear this now and not when you're in church to hold them?" And their answer was, "Because the anointing's not here. So we have to grab them with these tools instead of our hands." Okay. But see, those are outliers. Those are things that we look at and say, that doesn't make much sense. But they are out there. But here's the question. Do you believe that if a serpent was to do that, a poisonous snake was to grab a hold of your hand or your leg or your arm, that it wouldn't harm you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you drink anything poisonous, it will not kill you? Of course. And why do we do that? The authority of the words of Jesus right here before us. It's written in red. It is a promise, a guarantee from the Lord himself. So absolutely we believe that. I have all confidence in those words. But you know what I do not do on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis? I don't look for deadly snakes to play with or kiss in the mouth. I don't go out looking for deadly, poisonous snakes to pick up and just hold and say, see there? I don't guzzle gasoline or make arsenic smoothies in the morning to prove my wholehearted trust in God and his word. I'm not looking for these deadly things to do in order to confirm the level of my faith, whether I'm confirming it to God or to man. And I'm saying this because that's the type of thing I've been hearing. That if we show a level of concern or show caution or show a little respect for not only ourselves and family, but our neighbors around us by doing the things to help us not pass this on. It's not just not getting it. It's about not passing it on to other people. The neighbors we are called to really love and look out for, yeah, those people, just relax that. No, to do that is a lack of faith. No, you're an idiot. That's not true. No, we shouldn't be fearful. We should have all confidence in God's power to keep us. We should do that, but we shouldn't be stupid. We should not be flippant in these times. Because I have all the confidence that if any of those things were to happen and come upon me, the word of God is right, and I would come out on the other side unscathed, unharmed. However, I also know that if not, I'm still in Christ, so that's fine too. Who said God didn't want you to die? Okay. But see, my point is straightforward, and I want to get to it. I'm not telling you to live in fear of this virus. I'm not a fear monger. I'm not telling you to do that. And if you think I am, then you're not listening to me. Listen through this whole thing, please. But I'm also not telling you to drink the poison. I'm telling you, don't pick up the drink of gasoline because you think you can, because you know you can, because you believe the words and say, hey, it's Jesus talking. It's true. We can be people with our full confidence and faith in our God and his power while still being responsible citizens and neighbors. We can abide by these guidelines and do what we can do to stay safe, to be cautious while simultaneously acknowledging that God can take up the inevitable slack that I leave behind. We can daily know that he is able to protect us when all of our efforts fall short, when they do. We can't do everything that there is to do to stay safe, but we do what we know to do. We do what we understand is necessary to keep ourselves, our family, our loved ones, our community, our churches safe. People would say, well, they're telling the churches to close their doors. That's an attack of the devil or some political ploy. No, it's not. Or else the devil also hates movie theaters and restaurants and bars. And discos, if there anything like that exists in disco, bars, those things are told to shut their doors too. This is not a conspiracy by the devil or the government. This is people having to rely upon the good sense, the integrity, and the common sense of their neighbors to do what they can to protect not only themselves, but all the people around them. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is not a show of a lack of faith. this is what I've been hearing. And I hope, and I know, like I said, those of you who are listening to me who normally do, this is probably nothing new to you. You're probably fine with what I'm saying. But there's some out there who not only believes that it is a lack of faith, but will condemn those who do show any bit of caution, any bit of concern. And that's ridiculous. So we know that God will take up the slack. He will protect us when all of our efforts do fall short. However, that doesn't take away our responsibility to one another to put forth that effort. Our faith in God as the church should not reflect irresponsibility. Confidence in God and common sense are not enemies. God is the source and the substance of faith, but he also gave each one of us a fully functional brain. Being responsible, being safe, being cautious in these types of situations doesn't lessen or invalidate our faith or our trust in God. Because I won't even begin to take the time to go into the real true realm in which faith operates. I won't do that. However, if you think that such precautions and doing the thing, sanitizing, whatever, gives a black eye to your faith in God and your trust in him, then pick up the drink and pick up the poison and drink it down. Guzzle away. Why don't we do that all the time? Why doesn't every church service have a worship service, an offering time, a poison drinking segment, and a snake handling segment? Why don't we all do it? According to Mark 16 here, we could. It's possible. Why don't we do it? Because we exercise good sense. These are not things we search after. We're not out there licking doorknobs. We understand we should be cautious. We should have concern for ourselves and others and confidence in the God. When we fall short in that confidence, he is able. Because he is. Faith in God does not negate responsibility. I was thinking about this a couple of days ago. We should not be people as Christians, those who are in Christ. We shouldn't be the type of people who have to continually revise ourselves or change our tune depending upon the situation, circumstances, and how close those situations and circumstance come to our doorstep. We should be constant, consistent, unmoved, whether these things are over there affecting other people or in our own house staring us directly in the face. I've known people who do this, and many people are entirely desirous and ready to impart their spiritual wisdom when a separate party is facing the issue. They can stand strong when it's another party being affected, but when they encounter something difficult themselves, their attitude changes rapidly. Example, there's a local pastor who's just had such a change. We were told not to meet in large groups or even small groups, and yet the pastor believed that he should go on and have a children's ministry event at the church where people would come from everywhere and have this time of the church getting together and the children getting together and having this ministerial event. Now, he posted some things about this, and he believed that this thing could never touch them. Now, over 30 people have the virus, and I just heard today that one of the people who was the greeter in the church has died. And the pastor and his wife also contracted the coronavirus. His wife had a seizure and ended up in the hospital. Now, here's a question. Did she and the pastor not have strong enough faith? because these are accusations that Christians are making toward other Christians. You don't have enough faith. It's just like the word of faith, people. If you're sick, then either you don't have enough faith, it's your fault, or you have some kind of a secret sin in your life that you haven't repented of. It's your fault. And we point our finger at each other. So did they not have strong enough faith? Did the people who gathered at this event not believe properly? Or did the pastor display an utterly irresponsible behavior toward those that he is responsible for in God's sight? But once it hit his household and hit the people that he knew, hit his wife and himself, he changed. He wrote a long post and included in it was statements like, "I didn't think it could happen to us. Now we need to pray for those medical personnel who are helping fight this virus, and please take this seriously." If we understood that we could have full faith and confidence in God to be our protector and still be responsible enough to do the things we know to do, to take the steps that we know to take, this stuff wouldn't happen. And if it does, we don't fear, we still believe, but we have done our part. We have exhausted our ability to keep safe those we love. Unfortunately, there's people out there today who are prophets, who believed, claimed that they're prophets, YouTube, TV, radio, and they claimed many times this virus would already be banished from our shores or banished from this planet. I heard one telling the people that were listening to him on Facebook saying, "Banish it into the outer space, Lord God." And he was claiming it and decreeing it and everything. And this man's had to revise his timeline on the coronavirus being over with a couple times already. And they've done all of this, of course, in the name of God, moved upon by the Spirit. And I hear the same prophet canceled his upcoming prophetic conference due to unforeseen circumstances. Now let that soak in. A prophetic conference canceled for unforeseen circumstances, meaning the spread of the virus. There are those in certain churches that say that they can't preach a gospel that allows for sickness and disease, and they've canceled their own prayer teams going to the sick and the infirm to protect their staff, their prayer warriors, people that are going to heal other people. They canceled all of that. Now, I applaud the fact that they canceled it to protect their staff, but do you see how things turned around? When we're dealing with something that's not like cancer that can't jump on you, a heart problem can't jump on you. A guy last night I was listening to on Facebook, he stumbled over himself in many different ways trying to say that we don't need to be fearful of this thing. We need to stand as the kingdom of God against this, and I'm not going to be fearful of it, and I'm going to do the thing, and we're going to gather. It doesn't matter what they say. And then he said in the next breath, next sentence, is we canceled the conference that we were going to have in April. Not because I don't believe, but because we didn't want the prophet, the man of God that we're bringing to us to be on a plane. Why? You see the revision, and then he just changed the subject totally. You see how we have to kind of hop around when these type of things are validating realities for us as far as the level and the degree of our faith and trust in God. Why can't we just say we canceled it because we are concerned about the health of our people? We love our people enough to be concerned enough to cancel this where we can all separate for a little while so we can come back to normal sooner. Doesn't mean you don't trust God. It doesn't mean your faith is not present in God to secure you. Again, drink the poison. Pick up the cobra. Let's do it daily. Let's do it in every church service. Or let's exercise common sense. Again, common sense is not an enemy to faith. Not. Responsibility is not a black eye to trust in God. I'm not calling for us to live in fear. I'm not saying don't trust in God. I'm saying just the opposite. But let's not be those who are always having to adjust our statements and our ideas and our stances due to certain situations and how close it is to affecting us. Guys, there's an arrogance that I saw in it. And I know that maybe some who are listening, again, not the regulars, hopefully, but those who may hear this passing by will say, hey, man, it's true. If those people had enough faith, this wouldn't happen. The issue is that we can still exercise common sense, protocols, and have confidence in God's ability to keep us in this time and every other time. Why do you take medicine if you take medicine? Why do you go to the doctor? If you have a spot on your lung, why do you get it scanned? Why do you have that surgery when the doctor says, we need to get this out now? I know some people don't, but the majority do, and the majority of Christians do. Why? Because you're exercising a level of sense, of intelligence. And you believe God that He will protect you where the doctors and yourself and every circumstance around you fall short. These are not times to fear. This is a time to be confident in our God's sufficiency. But it is a time also to be cautious and courteous, to be responsible people who don't flippantly throw our faith in the face of everybody and say, yeah, you get sick, but I won't. That's what I've heard. I'm a man that puts his full confidence in God for my soul first, and also this earthen vessel. And I have to. I have had to sleep for many years with a machine strapped to my face in order to sleep and not stop breathing and die in my sleep. Because I have a very severe case of sleep apnea. And I have to believe God that He will keep my machine working. And if it doesn't, that He will help me otherwise while I sleep. And He has many times. And He's also come through by providing different sources of used CPAP machines because I don't have insurance for that. I have insurance, but not for that prescription. See, that is God providing for me and taking care of the things over which I have no control, but I do what I can. I don't fear. I don't lack confidence. But I do what I can. I do the things that are necessary to take care of the thing that I have as my responsibility to take care of. This is a very small thing, but it's a point. And I'm saying these things by this means of communication of this podcast. Like I said, I don't do this at all, talk like this. But I know firsthand people who are struggling with the condemnation that's being put on them by strong faithed believers. Condemnation, and they are struggling with the thought that God is disappointed in them if they show one moment of concern and caution in this situation concerning this virus. If they wear gloves going to the store, that their Christian friends or their pastor, or hopefully not, but somebody that they hold in esteem as a believer who is a leader would say, you don't have faith? And I would look at that man and say, you don't have sense? do what you know to do. Do the things that are sensible. Again, faith is not an excuse to be ignorant. Faith is not an enemy to intelligence and common sense. Not in these matters. And I want to speak to those type of people who are living in that concern, not over the virus as much, but the condemnation if they show any concern over the virus. You have no faith. You need to have more faith. And if you don't want to gather in this church where this pastor won't stop gathering, then you don't have faith. And now here comes the condemnation. It's ridiculous and silly. If you're that type of person, you need to consider yourself for a moment and just think. These are not trivial situations we're in, but we should not treat it as trivial, but believers seemingly do. Again, we could be constant and consistent instead of every time something happens, determining whether it's close to us or far from us, our concern and our stances seem to always change. They're altered based upon how close that thing is to us. I just read before I started this, the Catholic Church is now saying it's okay to eat meat on Fridays for their people. Not just fish, but they can eat meat on Fridays now during this time of the year. What is it? Lent, Eric? Lent time. They could do it, you know. Well, why can't they all the time? And that's part of the thing about revising certain things, and we won't get into that. The pastor here that got nationwide notoriety, if you can call it that, an hour or so down south of us. About 1,000 people in his church, I hear. And I was told this. Half of the people in his church don't even believe that the virus is real. They think it's a concoction of the government, a ploy of the devil. And the stock gathering would fall into that. And that his people were willing to lick the floor, confident that they wouldn't get sick. Guess what? That's stupid. And it's prideful. And it's arrogant. That is not faith. That's ignorant. We can live daily in the assurance of our God is sufficient in all things. And yet have enough sense, enough gray matter to wash our hands, to do the things we know to do, to maybe have a momentary span of time where we have to be inconvenienced in certain areas so that people around us can be healthy, that our loved ones can be healthy, that they can get back to normal sooner than later because we've acted responsible as believers and not irresponsible because we think irresponsibility and lack of common sense proves our level of faith. That's absurd. Should we be gripped with fear? Absolutely not. Not at all. But should we, however, do what we know to be the thing that is responsible and safe and cautious? Absolutely we should. Knowing again that God is good, and that he is at all times able to keep us secure in every situation, when every attempt that we put into place, every practice that we exercise falls short, because it will. I touch my face. I do that. I can't stop touching my face. I'm a face toucher. I trust God that when I touch my face at times that I shouldn't have, that he is going to protect me. But I don't go out looking for it and say, I'm going to prove my level of faith. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick that snake up and kiss it right in the mouth. I'm going to take that arsenic smoothie every morning just to prove that I'm a person and a man of God. No, no. And I'm not going to condemn people for not doing that. I'm not going to point them out and say, you have no faith. I'm going to tell you why some of these preachers want to have their people still coming to church, because they want the money that comes with the people in their pocket. Fact is, you can give other ways. Maybe they don't know that. You could support digitally. You can do those things too. It hurts me to know that there are believers that are being condemned by people who should know better, because those people are exercising some caution. They're exercising responsibility. Yes. That's a big word. People hate that word, especially Christians seeming. Hate that word. Don't be irresponsible. Faith in God does not negate that. Someone today, we were talking, and he told me, he said, you know, Jesus could have jumped off of the high pinnacle that Satan took him up on, and he could have threw himself off. And guess what? The angel would have gotten him. He wouldn't have died. He would have been fine, but he didn't. But he could have. You don't have to prove anything. Doesn't prove anything at all. God is our life. Christ is our life. And that is so whether we have or die of the coronavirus or not. My faith is not measured by whether or not I get coronavirus, or whether or not I wear gloves to not get it. That's not the measure of faith. Faith has been measured by the presence of Christ being in me. Faith is ultimately about the salvation of my soul, not the wellness of my body. That's the last thing faith operates in. Faith is about redemption, atonement, reconciliation. It's about salvation. And I'm a man who does trust God, absolutely. And I'm a man who believes wholeheartedly. But I'm also somebody who tries to practice a degree of common sense and respect for those around me. And I think that would be a good witness to those who may not believe. So I'll stop there, guys. I hope this hasn't offended anyone. I hope you hear my heart in that. I'm not trying to hurt feelings or condemn. I'm trying to at least talk to those who are being, unfortunately, by the church pointed at and saying, you have no faith because you so-and-so, and you're cautious, and you don't believe enough. Baloney. Again, I'll pour you a cup of gasoline. Come sit in front of this table that I'm sitting at right now. I'll pour you a glass of gasoline. Guzzle it down. Let's do it every morning. We'll make that arsenic smoothie together. And I'm not trying to be flippant. I'm just making a point. We should be serious about the things of God. We should be serious about faith. And to make these type of things, like coming together in a building, the measure of our degree and level of faith is absurd. I love you guys. I hope you love me after this. Until next time, I'm hoping Monday or Tuesday we'll try to get our next installment of the Roman series out to you. Thank you so much for your love and support, those of you who are doing that. And if you desire to do it, then it would be wonderful, and I'd appreciate it. But I just love the fact that you're out there listening, and I'm hoping that someone receives something, maybe even edification and a confidence with even this, that I don't have to be condemned by showing some caution and exercising some common sense in this natural situation. Love you guys. Amen.
Yeah.